Isn't there just something about that name? Could we just say that name this morning? Jesus. 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 I'm certainly glad that I feel the Holy Spirit of God with us today and Jesus is in the building. Praise be to God. Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, we'll be reading verses 14 through 22 here in just a moment. Let's just imagine for a moment that it's been a 95 degree, hot, muggy day. And you've been out several hours working under the hot, beating sun, high humidity, and you've been sweating, and you've been either putting up hay or mowing the yard or doing sports activities or some kind of activity that you've been outdoors doing for quite some time. Okay? You come in to the house, and some people tell me this, I've not ever tried it, but they can drink hot coffee and it be refreshing. Anybody been there? Some people do, and I'm like, ugh, hot coffee? After I've been hot already? I know. Other people want just a cold glass of Southern sweet iced tea. Anybody amen that? Yeah. And then other people just say, give me a cold glass of water. Either way, refreshing at that time. But if you came in and you're, let's just say that your water had a certain color to it. And it had a certain smell to it. And it wasn't cold. And it wasn't hot. And you went, would you spew it? Personal story. Back when our girls were teenagers, I had this horrible habit of the 2-liter drink that's in the refrigerator, sneaking in at night after everybody's gone to bed, popping the lid and backwash, they called it, I guess, I don't know. Put it back in the fridge, and they kept saying, Dad, stop doing that. Well, they fixed that. There was a cold, about 3/4 of the way full, sun-kissed in the refrigerator, 2-liter. One night I did my ritual, and I got up in the middle of the night, went to the refrigerator, sun-kissed was there, popped the lid, and as soon as that hit my taste buds, my taste buds said, no, not in here. Do you know that they had taken every kind of juice and everything that they could possibly think of, liquidized, and poured into that sun-kissed? And to this day, I still don't know part of what was in that drink. I just knew that it smelled horrible and it tasted horrible. And so I heard giggles after I was gagging and spitting. But you know what? I didn't do that no more. That fixed me. And I tell you those as we read the scriptures this morning. Verse 14, the church at Laodicea. Unto the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen is truth. Okay? The absolute truth. The faithful and true witness. The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I wert thou cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white, with white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in thy throne, even as I also overcame and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so, Father, we come to you. Please come in. We invite you into this place this morning. Move on our hearts. For, Lord, sometimes we are just spoiled. We have much. And when we do that, Lord, sometimes we get complacent. And we don't need you, or we ignore you. Please help us not to do that, Lord, as a church body or as individuals. We pray, Lord, that you would expose and reveal to us this very morning who we are, whose we are, where we're at, and what we need to do to change. Be it for salvation, repentance, or actually stepping for somebody else that we need to pray for. May you bless this very time. In Jesus' name, amen. Lukewarm water. This water in Laodicea was contaminated. Okay? As we have read through the churches, we discovered that there is nothing hidden from Jesus. Nothing. Not one iota is hidden from Jesus. He knows our thoughts. He knows our motives. He knows where we live. He knows who we are. And he still loves us. But is he Lord of your life? Is he the one in charge? Is he the one that's controlling you? Is he the one that will stand and you stand before him and he spews you out of your mouth, out of his mouth, because he does not know you? He knows who you are. He knows where you live, and he knows how you're living. In Hebrews chapter 4, if you would turn there. Hebrews chapter 4. Because I believe that the Word of God will not return void. Do you believe that? Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the what? The heart. God knows us. This is Jesus' message to the church people. He doesn't have anything good to say to the church here in Laodicea. The context of why Jesus uses water and wealth to expose these people's spiritual bankruptcy. I want to take a look at that. Why does he use the things that we know the most about to expose to us what he already knows? Laodicea was a very wealthy city, had everything that you could possibly imagine. This was during the Roman period. Does America have too much stuff? Is America, would you say, spoiled? Do you know that if you have a roof over your head and food in your fridge and clean water coming into your house and clothes on your back, that you're richer than most people in the world? I'm talking the majority of the world. And yet we keep wanting. I didn't say need, because when it becomes to a need, that makes us more desperate and more urgent when it becomes a need. They were extremely wealthy. They were located at the major trade routes and connected all to the important cities, including Ephesus, Samaria, Sardis, and it was the center of the textile production, as well as it was the banking industry, and they also made eye salve at that time. Okay, so you see why he used the illustrations that he did to expose to them where they were. To the north of Laodicea, Hierapolis had a healthy hot spring. Have you ever been sore and just achy and tired, and you took a hot bath or you got into a sauna or a hot tub, and he's like, oh man, this feels so great. And then you use that biofreeze after, right? The heat things up. Hierapolis had hot springs. So to the north of Laodicea, they had all these hot water springs. To the south was Colossae, which Paul wrote to the Colossians. They had cold springs. How many of you ever went by one of those places in Mountain City, Johnson County, where they had the pipe running out of the ground and it was cold spring and you just went there and filled up your jug? Anybody been there? Yeah. That is awesome, isn't it? That is good water. That was in Colossae. And so Laodicea didn't have any of that, but Laodicea had problems with their water supply. They didn't have it locally, so they brought in aqueducts, which was 6 miles from them, to the city. And by the time the water got to Laodicea, the water was lukewarm, and because the aqueducts decay, which they had, the pipes running into the city with lukewarm water was contaminated. Do you see where they were and why Jesus used this illustration? It created a horrible tasting, smelling, contaminated water. And most times anybody that drank this water in this city got sick. We went on a mission trip to New Mexico several years ago. And we went north into the Rocky Mountains and we came down. When we got into Gallup, New Mexico, one of our teenagers was so sick. I mean, he was horribly sick. Fortunate for us, we had a missionary that was there who was a physician's assistant. So he came and gave him medicine and things and took care of him. And it took a long time before he got off of banana popsicles. We didn't know because nobody else got sick. But looking back at videos and pictures, there was only one teenager that got into the creek in the Rocky Mountains, dipped down, and got a drink. That was him. This water throughout the city was contaminated. So they knew and they identified with water issues that made you sick. Okay? They were confronted here with their self-reliance, their riches, and maybe they not didn't verbally do this, but they asked Jesus to leave the church. Could you think of that? Jesus, we don't need you. We got everything we need. We've got everything. People are still coming. You know, we've got good finances, and we don't need you. You can leave. Wouldn't that be a horrible spiritual state of bankruptcy to be in? Guys, we need Jesus in the church. We need Jesus to be the one that leads us and directs us and does all things through what we have accomplished, that He can receive all the glory for everything and be kingdom focused and not self focused, but be Jesus led so that we draw people to look at Him. Not draw people to look at me or look at anybody else, but look to Jesus. We need Jesus in the church. And I pray He is present here today and moving on the hearts of people, because we can get so spiritually complacent and spoiled. It is in desperate times that we call on Jesus. This pastor out of Texas was buying a new vehicle, and after he purchased the vehicle, the salesman was extremely nice, and he did a wonderful job helping this pastor get his vehicle. And all through the discussions and all through the sales, he did not disclose that he was a pastor. Sometimes that's good. I don't like to do that as well. I don't like to tell people I'm a pastor, because people will talk different. Okay? They'll act different. It's amazing when you tell them you're a pastor that everything changes. So he didn't tell him and disclose to the salesman he was pastor. He was very cordial to him. And he bought the car. The salesman got the commission. And then a few days later, he called the salesman. Now, usually when a salesman gets a call back from a customer, it's not in good news. You sold me this lemon car, or this problem exists. But the pastor from Texas, when he called the salesman, he said, I just want you to know, I really appreciate what you did. You were very helpful in helping me search for the vehicle I needed. It's a good vehicle, as far as I know. And you helped me to get the financing for it and everything about it. And I just want to tell you, I thank you. Appreciate it. Is there any way that you and I could get together for lunch? So they got together for lunch, and the salesman said, I've never, in the years that I've been a salesman, ever had anybody do what you're doing. Still hadn't disclosed that he's a pastor. Second time he went to lunch with this man the following week, they're sitting there chatting, and it came up. What do you do for a living? He said, well, I'm a pastor. He's like, really? I've never had a pastor treat me this way either. He said, well, really? Long story short, they got into a conversation, and this pastor did something that you and I can do as well. And that is, he began to engage in a conversation and just say, what has been your life? And so he began to just ask him, what's happening in your life? How's things been going for you? And he said, well, when I was a young person, I made a friend in school, and he was a pastor's son. And I began to go to church with the pastor and his son. Very nice church. We went to Bible school. We did all the things in teenage group. And then there was a great friendship. You know, and I made good friends, and I loved going to church, and I was so excited. I took my Bible and did all those things. And said, as teenagers, you know how teenagers are. He said, we decided, I don't know why we did this, but we broke into church and we graffitied one of the rooms. He said, me and the pastor's son, we did this together. And so he didn't know why, we just mischievous, they'd done this. So the following Sunday, he's in church. Pastor called him up on stage Sunday morning and said, this young man has badly influenced my son that they graffitied this room. You no longer need to go to church here, and you need no longer be my son's friend. You're a bad influence. Leave. You think that damaged? Many years later, this is still on his heart why he shouldn't go back to church. Pastor and him continually developed this relationship. He began to see a difference and began to actually come to the church where later this man, this car salesman, was saved and baptized and found out what authentic true love of Christ is really all about. Yeah. Jesus is exposing social sickness in the church that springs up from embracing a lifestyle of spoiled, wealthy, popular, and powerful people. Internally within the church, this sickness is especially hard to detect because the church appears to be numerically healthy, very self-sufficient. But with respect to the Holy Spirit of God and relying on the Holy Spirit of God and the relying on the gospel and the kingdom mission that God had called him to, Jesus describes him wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. That would be a switch, huh? Jesus was basically asked to leave the church. And so now was his opportunity to expose them to the truth. There was the church that was in their comfort zone. They were rich, they were arrogant, and they were going through the rituals of their traditions. Why do you go to church on Sunday morning? Well, that's just what we do. Why do you do that? Well, that's just what we've done for years. Seemed to work. Is there any heart? That's like getting up on Sunday morning and going, I've got to go to church. The difference is, praise God, I get to go to church. There's a big difference. Starts out of the heart. Starts out of the heart. What do you do when Jesus leaves the church? What do you do when Jesus leaves the church? An honest look and listening to the seriousness of what Jesus is saying. Wretched and naked, you have no shame for your sin. Yet in your quiet alone time, you're miserable. No one knows what goes on behind your doors. Outwardly, you seem to be doing great, but inwardly, you're a train wreck, not wanting anyone to see what really is going on inside of you. You hide the real stuff very well that's going on. When you go home, you try to medicate, or you try to drink, you try to stay busy, but yet there's stuff going on that you don't want to expose. I'm telling you, Jesus already knows who you are, where you're living, and what you're doing. I said it before. A story from a young lady was talking about the altar. Her dad was the pastor, and she said the only people who came to the altar was those people that was lost without Christ and had a desperate need to get saved. But after that, you didn't go to the altar because you were so concerned and worried about what people would say or people think when you come to the altar to pray. They must have some horrible sin. Bless their heart. Can somebody find out what's going on in their life for me so that I can call my 12 contacts this week and tell them? Hello? Let's be honest, church. This is a place at this altar, folks, that you and I can humble ourselves before an almighty God and say, I have a need. Do you know what I'm saying? Not hiding it at home, not putting it in the junk drawer, not trying to sedate it with something, not trying to stay busy, but fat, exposing God, I want you to hear me because you already know me. I have issues. I need you. I'm not depending on me. I'm not leaning on my understanding. I'm going to lean on you, and I'm going to humble myself and come. I don't care what anybody thinks. All I care about is what you think, and you think I'm special. You think you have a plan and purpose for my life, and I want to tap into that because you're the one. And as I bow my knee before you and humble myself before you, I know that you can make a difference. I've tried all these other things, but they don't work. But I can come to you and humble myself before you with the issues that I have and know that you hear me and know that you'll speak to me about what I need. They were miserable. What should we do when Jesus leaves the church? Recognize it. Not ignore it. Not try to justify it. But to admit it. To recognize. Then once we recognize it, we repent. That means we turn away from the self-sufficient ways that we were doing and say, God, we need you. Psalms 51. Psalms 51, beginning in verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. That's what we do. Trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord. He loves you. And he's going to tell you the truth. When he tells us, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the followers of Christ. Okay? Trust him. He tells the truth. He allows some consequences in our life and our actions to discipline us, but that's to turn us back to him. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. What a sweet fellowship that is when he comes back in. Jesus is on the outside of the church knocking. I've used this out of context, as well as many evangelists and pastors over the years, that this was for lost sinners, that he's outside their door, their heart, and it could be that he is knocking on your heart. But the context of what Jesus is speaking to us here is to the church people, to the church body. He says, I'm outside of the church and I'm knocking. Let me in. Let me in. The good news is Jesus is knocking. Praise God. He could have just left the church and just kept on walking. But he's still knocking. And he's knocking on church people's lives still today. As well as you take it out of context, he's still knocking on the hearts of lost sinners dying and going to hell. That he wants to enter into your life and be Lord and controller and give you a new heart and a new life. Praise God. He's still knocking. When Jesus comes into your life, his church, when he comes in, there's a sweet, sweet spirit and a wonderful, wonderful fellowship. When I come into him and we sit down together and sup together. Wow. What better time of fellowship, knowing that he's present, that he's talking to us and he's engaging in our lives that way. As an overcomer, one who accepts the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, one that repents and renews their life, he will come in and sit with you. He will walk with you daily, all the time. What a wonderful opportunity. He will talk with you. He will provide the power for you to live life. He will supply the power for you to stand in the firmness of this seductive, dark world that we currently are in. Jesus will continually prepare you for what he wants to do with you tomorrow. You must simply trust and obey. Until that very day that you stand before him and he says, enter in, my good and faithful servant. I've prepared a place for you. Until that day, may we serve him faithfully. May we always have need daily of Jesus. For he says that he is the vine, we're the branch. Okay. He's the vine. We're the branch. The source of power that we can bring forth fruit. For without him, we can do nothing. Do you need Jesus this morning? Is there something that's troubling your heart that is going on? Not that you're going to come up and expose everything that's going on, but you can expose it to Jesus because he already knows you. Is there something that you have need of that you just want to humble yourselves before God, not worrying about what other people are going to think, and just come before God and say, God, please, I need you. God, I need your help. Maybe you're here this morning and you're lost without Christ. Maybe you've been coming to church. Maybe you're in through the motions. But the Holy Spirit of God is exposed to you. You have need of confessing your sins before God. Admit them. Asking him to cleanse you from all unrighteousness and making him Lord. I'll be here to pray with you. Walk you through that this morning. Whatever your need is, will you obey God? what Jesus is speaking to you this morning, because he's here. Folks, he is here with us right now. And he's speaking to us. If you would, I'm going to ask you to stand. Chrissy's going to come and play. What do you have need of? I firmly cannot believe that as we're here this morning, that there's something that Jesus spoke to you on your heart about your need that you need to pray to him about. Whether you feel to come and pray or you feel to make where you are right there a time of prayer. As she plays, what is Jesus speaking to you about? Salvation? Repentance? Or something that's in your life that you say, Lord, I need your help. And you just need to come pray. You might need to intercede for somebody. And say, Lord, I need you. I want to step in their place and pray for them right now. As people are praying around, you're praying where you are, wherever you feel comfortable, wherever you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you, there you will be comfortable. What do you have need of right now? Do you need Jesus? Do you need his help? He is here. He's willing and ready. And he's knocking at your door. You gonna let him in? It's a very serious matter, folks. He's anointed and appointed this very moment for you and I to meet with him. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. Do you need to humble yourselves before God and come and pray? What's your need? People are still praying. There's still room for you. Please don't walk out of here without Jesus. If you would, in your bulletin are a lot of names. It says organization, location, and the dates. Looks like this. This is your ETSU Baptist Collegiate Ministry students that have left for missions this year. Okay? So we'd ask you to pray for them. Some of them is going into some areas that are a little hostile. There are at least a couple of students that's not on this list that have gone on missions. One of them that we cannot disclose where they're going. But be in prayer for these students as they are going on missions this summer. One of the students called her dad after she'd been on the mission out in Salt Lake, Utah. She said, "Would it be all right if I stayed here and shared Jesus 2 more weeks?" Pretty solid. Solid ministry there at the Baptist Collegiate Ministry. You continually pray for them. Also, I'd ask you to be much in prayer for our Bible school. And if you've not engaged in it yet and you want to jump in and hang on, please see Jessica, okay, or me before you leave today. We have a place for you. And we have a number of children and teenagers that need to know the love of Christ that you can just love on all week long. So please be in prayer for that. As well as VBS, we need beach towels. Okay? So if you have a beach towel that you would like to loan us, put your name on it somewhere so that it gets back to you. If you have some of those sand toys, you know, the little castle plastic deals and all, get any of those, bring those as well. If you've got any neighbor kids that's just been hard to deal with during the summer, bring them to Bible school. Okay? And if you've got a neighbor that has been looking for a home church, bring them with you too. And just let them hang out with you and see the love of Christ, how we love God, we love each other, and we love children, and we just want to share the good news. Also, after church, we need some help moving some heavy things, furniture, to prepare for Bible school. Okay? So if you would stick back and help us move some of these things, that would be great. Any other good there? Jessica, we good? Paisley, okay? Awesome. So do that. Next week, Father's Day. Bring as many men. Ask as many men to come to church next week. We need you, men. We need you. Okay? Bring men to church next week. Bring young men to church next week. Okay? Father's Day. All right? So, any other announcements I've forgot, omitted? I'm getting older. I forget things, so it's okay. Just tell me. All right. It's good to see you here this morning. I pray that we just keep needing Jesus. Keep needing Jesus. I invite you back tonight at 6 o'clock. We're going to talk about urgency. If you can watch what's going on and read about what's going on in America and the world today and not get a sense of urgency, you need to come tonight. We're going to look at the urgency before us. There's a lot going on, and God's at work. God's doing some amazing things, but we need to engage in gospel conversations and making disciples as well. So come back tonight. There is an urgency. The fields are wide into the harvest, okay? Laborers are few. I hear that in the world today, that people that have businesses or people that need people to work, what do they normally tell me? I can't get people to work. Laborers are few. Fields are wide. Let's go get them. Okay? Let's go get them. All right. Brother Wade. Would you dismiss us in prayer, please?